May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 939. Jesus, immutably the same, thou true and living vine, around thy all-supporting stem, my feeble arms I twine. Hymn 939.
Most holy word of God, firstly from Job chapter 23, then Isaiah chapter 50. Job chapter 23. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he will put strength in me. there the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered for ever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. In Isaiah chapter 50, thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away, or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as a learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindleth fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. most kind and gracious God. Oh, thou hast spared once again our unworthy lives to gather in thy courts on this, the Sabbath evening. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. Thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. We're still upon praying ground. The door of mercy still stands open to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. Or may we be found amongst those, as the hymn writer put it, live to fill their need. They're welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, we have to come with nothing in our hands, no merits of our own, no righteousness of our own to plead. We have to confess that we are nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. But oh, enable us to venture all upon thee. Oh, enable us to venture all upon thee. For it must be this, my whole dependence on thee fix, nor entertain a thought my worthless schemes with thine to mix, but venture to be naught. Or to be found as that worm Jacob, down in the dust of self-abasement. Oh, a worm Jacob with a broken heart and a contrite spirit which I would not despise. Oh Lord, if we are found in thy courts this night with any robe of Rome making, perhaps one as of mixed fibres, oh, perhaps we think we can put our own hand to it in measure. But, O Lord, do strip from us any filthy rag, and may we be found clothed upon with thy righteousness. Oh, we fast hasten on the never-ending eternity before us. Leave us not to anything counterfeit. Leave us not to any rotten props or sandy foundations. Oh, leave us not to our own a deceitful heart. Lord, we often find it troubles us so that we could even stand up in thy name. What if we should be found a castaway at last? Or prevent it by thy grace, Lord, we plead. And may we truly found amongst those whom thou hast redeemed, found amongst that number that no man can number, a remnant of all mankind, or found bound up in that bundle of life, in that everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. Or may we be found amongst that remnant that shall hear thy voice, for thou wilt enable them, and yes, truly what a mercy it is, thou wilt cause them to approach unto thee. Thou wilt cause them to call upon thy name. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Oh, may that be our desire. All that thou hast chosen and called and caused to approach unto thee. In that time when thou mayest be found. For, O Lord, we still are upon praying ground. The day of grace has not ended. O Lord, take each in hand, we plead, from the youngest to the oldest. For, O Lord, we truly feel as another year ebbs towards a close. O Lord, that there are those reminders that there shall be that time, that that place that knows us now shall know us no more hereafter. We have those reminders, do we not? That there is that time to be born, and we thank thee that there have been those we've seen in our own families, have we not? But oh, that time to die. We've each satisfied that first part, a time to be born. But there is a time to die, and after death, the judgment. Oh, after death, the judgment. And, oh Lord, we feel in our own case that truly there is much that testifies against us. There is much, O Lord, that has been revealed to us by the Spirit, that unerring light that ransacks every corner of the heart. And we have to confess, I am vile. I am vile. O Lord, we need that washing in thy precious blood. We need that application of it. We might see it by faith sprinkled upon the doorpost and into that heart. But oh, when that great and terrible day comes, when we have to stand before the judge of all the earth, when we have to stand before the judge of all the earth, that one that will not at all acquit the wicked, how shall we in of ourselves stand in that day? Or if we're found there with nothing but our own righteousness, or yes, even as as one that might dare to say there is no God, or how solemn will be that day. Depart from me, for I never knew you. A solemn and terrifying day indeed. But, O Lord, make each right and keep each right. Oh, make each right and keep each right. O Lord, we often have to plead this, hold thou me up, finding continually the treachery and our old nature that bubbles up. The thoughts that suddenly come into the heart. And thy word declares a thought of foolishness is sin. And, O Lord, we would thank thee if thou dost keep us from outward sin and those gross iniquities. But, O Lord, we find the hidden evils of the heart. And many there are, other not. And so, Lord, we plead, wash us every whit, from our head to our feet. Plunge us in that crimson ocean. Lord, may we feel the application of the Spirit, by the Spirit of that precious blood, that sin-atoning blood, to cleanse us from the guilt and power of sin. O Lord, do remember us then, we plead. Do remember each one. That bridegroom shall appear, shall he not? And yes, the old must die and the young may die. A solemn truth indeed. And so we plead, prepare us each. Prepare me, gracious God, or may we know the desire. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face, For thy spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. In Christ's obedience clothe and wash me in his blood. So shall lift my head with joy among the sons of God. Or to be found then as an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Or one, a beggar taken from the dunghill, raised up as that one. Oh, that one. As an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Oh, that one, black. Yes, brought to know and feel and confess I am black. But oh, in thine eyes, for a precious Christ, comely. Comely. Oh, that imputed righteousness, that robe of Christ's righteousness once put on, oh, can never be taken away. But oh, that robe, we must have it on, that spotless, seamless robe that neither a spot or a shadow of a spot upon the soul be found. Do remember each one, we plead and we plead once again for the dear young ones and especially the babes in arms and the day in which we live, in which their lot is cast. Oh, hedge them about, Lord, we plead. May they know what it is to fear the Lord, put it in their hearts. And may it prove to be unto them the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. We read concerning Samuel of old, he knew what it was, even in his childhood, to know the voice of the Lord God Almighty. To remember them as they grow up and go on into life, Lord, make a way for them where perhaps there seems to be no way. And perhaps a path has been closed up and things overturned. Lord, thou knowest something, look back to our young manhood and how those paths were closed up, overturned in a moment. And oh Lord, we found a rebellious spirit rose up, for we wanted this or wanted that. We wanted to do this or wanted to do that. But oh, what a mercy indeed we can look back and see the reason why. May there yet be able to look back and see the reason why there is this disappointment or that disappointment. But it was amongst those appointments which are of thee, or when thou dost hedge up the way, when thou dost stop up the path. Lord, we know that in of ourselves there is a way which seems right unto us, for we want it. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Oh, what a mercy then, that might yet prove and be able to look back and see all the way which the Lord their God hath led thee in due time. They can see the wisdom in it, thy wise purpose in it. For thou knowest the way better than we do. Thou knowest our hearts better than we do. Thou knowest infinitely all about our very being. And so, Lord, may it please you then. You know, each one, the young ones, as they go on into life, to commit their ways unto thee. But all when those trials come and crosses and crooks in the lot. Lord, may they be able to say, thy will be done. Only lead me forth by the right way. Lead me forth by the right way, that I might go unto that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. And now, O Lord, to cast their cares and to seek thy face in all things. All things that pertain to their life and the future pathway. enabled to spread it out before thee at the throne of grace and mercy seat. Lord, remember those in the midst of life, and perhaps there are those things which have got to be returned to on the morrow or in the coming days, mountains and difficulties, dark places, things hard to be understood. Perhaps as the enemy has risen up in the way. No, Lord, they know what it is like Jehoshaphat of old, neither know we what to do, but rise up unto thee. May they prove this, even as that one stood up there. Ah, that is move that one to stand up in the midst of the people. Ah, you have no need to fight in this battle. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that which seems ready to overwhelm them, an enemy perhaps then, or many enemies. Ah, did not they prove that thou didst fight that battle for them? And they were to go, were they not, in due time, 3 days gathering the spoil. It was much, was it not? Those enemies that they feared fought one against the other until there was not one left standing. Ye have no need to fight in this battle. The battle is not yours but God's. Stand ye still. So enable them to go forth even with that a measure of that peace of God which passeth all understanding. To stand ye still. Ah, to stand still and see thy good hand going before them. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so we plead for them. And so those in the midst of life and all the cares. Ah, perhaps each one's proving. Through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. Thorns also and thistles. Thy word declares it is to be so. It's not to be a smooth path, but a path of trials through much tribulation. Oh, blessed be God if each one proves the God of all comfort in the midst of it all. Ah, may they prove that promise. Ah, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amidst life's journey, may they prove like those two upon the Emmaus road. Ah, their hearts were sad, were they not? They did not understand all those things which had taken place, and no doubt there was a measure of darkness pervading over their spirit. But oh, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. May this one or that one likewise prove thee, that good shepherd and bishop of their souls that goeth before his sheep and he leadeth them forth by that right way. But all that one that's pleased to condescend to go with them. Condescending to go with them. Like those two upon the Emmaus road, oh, their hearts burn within them. Their hearts burn within them. They constrain thee to abide with them. And thou wast pleased to turn in with them, and when thou didst break bread and give thanks, then their eyes were opened. Oh, may it please thee. Ah, they might see yet in the midst of all their trials this good shepherd. This one that loveth at all times a brother born for adversity. And to remember those in the even time of life, they fill them up all cottage shake. Heart and flesh begins to fail, and the grasshopper becomes a burden, desire fails. And O Lord, they long for those fresh tokens. They long once again for thee to speak peace and pardon into their soul. But oh, may they be satisfied with thy goodness. May it please thee bring to their remembrance all the words which thou hast spoken unto them. Bring to their remembrance all the way which thou hast led them these years in the wilderness. Grant them those refreshings and those renewings, and the lifting up of the weak hands and confirming of the feeble knees. May they prove the God of Jeshurun, who rideth on the heaven in thy help, and his excellency on the sky, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Or may they prove, even with a psalmist, whereby he could say, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Remember the afflicted ones. Lord, remember each afflicted one, and those varied afflictions, things that us bring upon this individual and that individual. And perhaps they feel at times, no one understands my affliction or my path. Lord, may it please thee, or speak the word only. May it please thee, speak the word only, like the disciples of old, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Might hear thy voice, see thy smile, feel thy touch. Perhaps in their affliction they sought thee upon the bed in the night season. Perhaps the old adversary at their right hand to resist them. And, O Lord, they know the language also. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? O Lord, do enable them to wait on, to give thee no rest. For wilt thou not give that one the new sharp threshing instrument having teeth? Wilt thou not continually pour out upon thy people that spirit of grace and supplications? Or will they not know and rejoice in that which we read in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, where Paul, as he wrote unto them, and concerning that glorious high priest, our advocate with the Father, that one, verily God, verily man, has accomplished all in the sinner's room, place, and stead, and now sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and intercedes for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered. But let us therefore come boldly. They are given that boldness even to go again and again. Go again even seven times. Oh, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All those times of need, times of necessity. O Lord, may they prove yet thy loving kindness and thy tender mercies and the abundance of thy grace. Bless all the means used for their good. Remember those that look after the afflicted. Or grant them that help also. Perhaps they look on and feel so helpless in the midst of it all. But, O Lord, we plead, may each one prove my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And, O Lord, these things are, is it not, even as a hymn writer put it, all must come, and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. Nothing is by chance or out of place, nothing is haphazard. Thou hast appointed it to come. Oh, thou hast appointed it to come. And so, Lord, we plead, sanctify it all. Make one with them. Make their bed even a Bethel to them. Lord, we plead for them. Once again, we plead for Zion. Strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And that which has been attended to even in those thy courts elsewhere and here in the earlier part of the day. Oh, labours done in much weakness and fearing and trembling. Ah, Lord, we plead thy blessing upon them. May there be yet that wrought in Zion, whereby thou wilt constrain those to put on Christ in that open way, that they might be as those prisoners set free, and like Lazarus when he came forth from the tomb, yes, still bound with those grave clothes of sin and death. But thou didst give that command, loose him, and let him go, all that might be yet, that loose him, loose her, and let them go, brought into the liberty of the gospel. The mouth opened, the dumb enabled to speak. Ah, that song of praise put in the mouth, they might tell out to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. So we plead, do strengthen Zion. And Lord, we plead, are there none of thy dead elect in and around these parts and around the little hills of Zion? As we go about, we see many places so ministered and brought low. But are there none of thy dead elect, O Lord, those whom thou hast loved from all eternity? Those whom thou wilt in time work in their hearts mightily that good thing. Thou wilt take out the heart of stone and give the heart of flesh. Thou wilt give them those new desires, living desires. The world will not satisfy them anymore. It's made unto them a waste, howling wilderness. And O Lord, they come in like those Greeks, and sirs, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. Oh, they long to handle and taste and feel of thee. For thou hast given them that burden. Thou hast burdened them with their sins. And they see that there's no hope in themselves. But they see, begin to see, like that Ethiopian eunuch, and what a desire he had as he began. Even that day as he journeyed home to read in his private meditations the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Oh, how he longed to lay hold upon thee. And that is constrained, for it was at appointed time. That is constrained and send Philip, thy servant, down to meet him there in that desert place. The world was made a desert to him. And perhaps one or another thou hast made the world a desert to them now. But oh, Philip was constrained and commanded to go down there. Oh, what a day it was as Philip joined himself with that one in that chariot. Understandest thou what thou readest? How can I, except some man should guide me? And by the Spirit the Lord opened Philip's mouth, and he preached Christ in all his fullness and beauty, all his sufficiency there to a poor sinner, as recorded in that chapter. And it speaks of that wonders of redemption, that work of grace, is it not? It speaks of that one, the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, that stooped down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. And it was opened up to his understanding. And oh, even that one, by the end of that journey, we know not whether they journeyed or whether we believe they were journeying, perhaps slowly going forth. But oh, that one was brought him to this. See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Ah, that work of grace. So, Lord, we plead, do work mighty in the hearts of those that gather in thy courts. And if it could please thee, mighty in the hearts round about those whom thou wilt yet cause to come. And so we plead, awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. So, Lord, do remember Zion. We thank thee for the promise. concerning Zoan, that thou hast said thou would abundantly bless her provision and satisfy her poor bread abundantly. We rejoice in that word that is there, abundance, abundantly. And O Lord, may it please thee that this one or that one, even in Zion this night, that their cup might yet run over. They might rejoice in that abundance as thou dost take them into the banqueting house where thy banner over them is love. So, Lord, we plead, do remember Zion. Do strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And, O Lord, we thank thee for all our mercies and favours temporal. We've lacked nothing. O Lord, we've lacked nothing. And we would then desire to praise thee. For, O Lord, can we not say our pathway has been strewn with many mercies indeed? When we think of our godly forefathers, how often they went without for a while, but all they saw thy good hand in most wonderful ways, but we have an abundance. But, O Lord, may we know what it is to hunger and thirst after thee and after thy righteousness. May we know what it is whereby we can say man cannot live by bread alone, but it is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. But we would thank thee for that which we have, and we've lacked nothing even to this day. O Lord, may it please thee, we might ever be put in remembrance that thou dost give, and thou hast not withholden any good thing. Thou hast not withholden any good thing. And so, Lord, do now, we plead, make one with us, satisfy us with thy goodness, send none empty away. May it please even the lines of the hymns. Lord, even the lines of the hymns, the language of the hymn writer, the experimental language that accords with thy word and accords with the path of a child of God. May perhaps even the line of a hymn, a verse, be that which is even unto one. It melts, breaks a heart, and causes that one to weep before the Lord. O Lord, we would then seek for those that give out the hymns. And it's a burden and exercise indeed, is it not? Sometimes you can look through the 1156, it seems you cannot settle upon one. Another time it seems you can find and settle upon this one and then another one. And, O Lord, what a path it is, even that. A burden and exercise goes with it. But, O Lord, may it please thee then, grant them also that token that they do not labour in vain, nor spend their strength for naught. So we plead, help us each together, bless us each together, do us each good, send none empty away. And we have to confess we're unworthy of the least of thy mercies, we're unworthy of thy notice. But all we plead this: when thou wast here upon the earth, thou didst eat with publicans and sinners. Thou didst eat with publicans and sinners. We are the same, Lord. We're sinners indeed, sinners in need. Oh, do make one in our midst. And may we see then none other save Jesus only. And do break the bread of life unto us. I'm but the instrument in thy hand. Lord, may it please thee, pour in that we may pour out. But do pardon and forgive now our many, many sins, our often failings, our constant shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 627. Poor sinner, dejected with fear, and bosom thy mind to the Lamb. No wrath on his brow he does wear, nor will he poor mourners condemn. His arm of omnipotent grace is able and willing to save. A sweet and a permanent peace he'll freely and faithfully give. Hymn 627.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to Isaiah chapter 50 and read the last two verses. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Isaiah chapter 50, the last two verses. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Lord, as we try to speak in a poor way this morning, knowing some ways it seemed our thoughts were chained in a measure. But all we try to speak this morning from those words we read at the end of Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And as a psalmist there, then he longed for that which was a divine reality. He didn't want to come down to the end of his days and find it rest upon anything false. He didn't want to find something counterfeit. And he longed for the Lord to search him and to know his heart and try him and to know his thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And so, as the psalmist there, he didn't want anything which would be short, come short at last, or to fail him in that great and terrible day, the day of judgment. And if you are one of the Lord's people, that will often be your desire and burden of your soul, that you might not be left. Yes, as we said this morning, we have a heart by nature which is deceitful. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And so we don't want to be deceived by our old natural self, our old nature, our old heart, that which is the old man of sin within, in league with Satan himself. We want that which is real, that which will stand that great storm at last, and stand those storms of time, and that last great storm, death itself. Oh, how solemn it should be then if we find that we've got something which is counterfeit. Maybe something which is so near, we think of counterfeit money in our day, and we can look at one and another and we can be taken in by it. But only the experts can know, and some, it's very difficult even for them. But the Lord knows your heart and mine, searches our ways, knows our thoughts, and all our desire. We may be found in the courts of the Lord, may be found there every time that doors are open. But all we can have that which is counterfeit within. Yes, well, perhaps counterfeit on the outside, for it's the outward appearance, but certainly not that which is counterfeit within, for the Lord sees the heart and all the desire, knows your desires and mine, knows just how we are in his courts this night, knows your thoughts are far off, knows mine. And so, as we said this morning, the Lord will make his people, in that tender fear of the Lord, make them honest. And they will come with an honest sincerity. Search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And as we also read Psalm 143, and those words seem to rest upon our spirit there, cause me, hear me speedily. Especially as we realise our days fast hasten on, we know not what an hour, a day or an hour may bring forth. We know not when we shall have to appear before the judge of all the earth. Or does that language then of the psalmist, did it come into your heart this morning, did it touch your heart? Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. But oh, perhaps some, and we've proved it, have we not? Oh, the language of the hymn writer came to my mind earlier, and I turned to it. Oh, the language of the hymn writer, dear Newton. Ah, yes. Perhaps one has proved this. I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace. Might more of his salvation know, and more earnestly, and seek more earnestly his face. As dear Newton put it, 'twas he, yes, cause me. And it's been so of you, perhaps the one proving it. 'Twas he who taught me thus to pray. And he, I trust, has answered prayer. But it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. Or does the language of the hymn writer there sum up your path, the dealings of the Lord with you? Some as we proved it. Yes, those things which the Lord was pleased to bring into the path, quite contrary to our natural mind, our natural will, have laid his afflicting hand upon us, brought us into very low places. Was he who taught me thus to pray, and he, I trust, has answered prayer, but it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hoped that in some favoured hour, at once he'd answer my request, and by his love's constraining power subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Yea, more with his own hand he seemed to intend to aggravate my woe, crossed all the fair designs I schemed, blasted my gourds, and laid me low. Yes, you may have prayed for the Lord to take you in hand, to search you and try you, leave you not to yourself. And all you prove this, yea, more, with his own hand he seemed, intent to aggravate my woe, crossed all the fair designs I schemed, blasted my gourds and laid me low. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried, wilt thou pursue a worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. Did old Newton close that hymn like this? These inward trials I employ, from self and pride to set thee free, and break thy schemes of earthly joy, that thou mayest seek thy all in me. I felt I must read those two portions this evening. Yes, those first verses in Isaiah. Oh, what a mercy we have such portions there. And is it not an encouragement to a poor, trembling child of God? Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Yes, you've heard his voice. Be brought to walk in his ways in measure, leading you forth by that right way, taking you out of that path which you once walked with all your desire. Like we read in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, walked according to the power, if I quote it rightly, and prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, wherein in time past it was so. Ah, yes, that one walking in the tender fear of the Lord, longing for them to the Lord to lead them in that right way. They don't want to be deceived. They don't want something which will come short at last. They want that which is real, that which is not counterfeit, but that which is real coinage, if I'm put in that way, that which has a value to it, a great value indeed. For their needy soul depends upon it, their never dying soul depends upon it. Their need as a sinner depends upon it. Their eternal safety depends upon it. They walk in darkness. Yes, that verse, verse 11, it speaks of that opposite. One, yes, he's no more than a mere professor. One that has a form of godliness which hath no power. Doesn't realise, but he's walking in sparks his own kindling. But the poor trembling child of God, that worm Jacob that fears and trembles at the voice of Almighty God in the midst of their pathway. The last thing they want is sparks of their own kindling. For they know and feel that in their heart they cannot do any good thing. It is not within their power, but they're dependent upon God. There's nothing in themselves. Yes, they may have proved it in time past. For they prove this: the more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled. But the more. And so they fear the path of a dead professor, one that walks in sparks of his own kindling. For there is that what is to be their end. They shall lie down in sorrow. They shall lie down in sorrow. Yes, as you proved in time past, those sparks of your own kindling, you put your own hand to it and thought you could manage this and manage that. There was sorrow again upon sorrow. But ah, the tender fear of the Lord. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? As he said, ah, yes, he's heard the voice of the shepherd. That shepherd is leading him forth that right way. And that voice, yes, has brought them to those desires, living desires. Teach me, lead me, guide me, cause me to hear. That voice of that shepherd that, is so wrought in their hearts, they stretch forth their hands unto thee. And my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. there's that Thursday. But oh, that path, ah, the Lord has appointed. Yes, brings such a darkness, and it seems a dark and foreboding place, and you wonder where the scene will end. But oh, the word declares, does it not? Let him trust in the Lord and stay upon his God. Let him trust in the Lord. Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. I felt I must read that concerning Job and what a path was appointed for him. Yes, here's one that walked in the fear of the Lord. We read it at the beginning, do we not? We read concerning Job, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Yes, and you read of that fear of the Lord which was in his heart, and even as he had that concern over his children, and he offered up, did he not, those burnt offerings in their place, as it were, on their behalf. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Ah, that trial of your faith, trial of mine, that trial that the Lord's people shall know in greater measure or lesser measure, according as he sees fit, according to his sovereign purposes. But all they shall know, Satan as that real foe, and that will be a dark place indeed, where Satan is at their right hand. That's a dark place. There's no light there. Satan is not that one of light. Christ is that light. Satan is darkness. Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. Ah, one whose life is here with Christ in God shall know those times Satan at their right hand. Satan, that one that pursues them. Satan, ah, that one, if he could, would bring them down to an eternal death. But blessed be God, there is this promise. Even as it, perhaps not in that way a promise, but it is the word of the Lord, and it is unto the Lord's people. For there is that hedge about him, certainly. But Satan was permitted to touch all that he had. Touch him even in his own body. But upon himself put not forth thine hand. And so Satan was permitted to go so far and no further. Ah, ye that fear the Lord, Those that fear the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. And you know the account of Job, as Satan then went forth from the presence of the Lord. And those various things, one after another, brought to Job's knowledge. He was acquainted with this thing and then that thing. Ah, yes, Job was brought in such a place where he opened his mouth and he cursed his day. He cursed his day. And the Lord's people, sometimes they're brought into such low, dark places, they'll identify him with Job. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death sustain it, let a cloud dwell upon it, let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for the night, let darkness seize upon it, let it not be joined unto the day of the year, let it not come into the number of the months. Ah, what a low place then. What a low place. But oh, and we read then that chapter together. Ah, yes, that working of grace, that spark of living faith, that spark of living faith. When the Lord was here upon the earth, there are many that were offended at his words, and they walked no more with him. And the Lord said unto the disciples, will you also go away? And they said, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Poor trembling one, are perhaps brought into a dark place. Know what it is to walk in dark places, where there seems to be no light, because Satan, that arch enemy of the Lord's people, is ever at your right hand to resist you. Ever at your right hand to resist you. Ah, what a mercy, that living faith will cause that one to cry out unto the living God, will cause that one to cry out. Ah, yes, for you see in himself there is no hope and no help in himself. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. And certainly not any room or wanting anything false there. But divine reality. But oh, Job, yes, he had to confess this, and he said, even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. And that poor trembling sinner, heavier than his groaning. Perhaps you know a little of that also. The path which the Lord has been pleased to bring you into. You know, at times, you feel it. Can't speak. No words can come, it's groaning. But even that path and that stroke seems heavier than your groaning. But oh, do you know the language even as Job here then? He said he didn't want anything counterfeit. Didn't want sparks of his own kindling. They didn't help him here, did they? Even those that tried to, as it were, comfort him, they were poor comforters indeed. But oh, he had this desire. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, has it been your desire in the dark seasons and the trial? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Ah, that is one, is it not? Truly not walking in sparks of their own kindling. But it is that one that I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, loving kindness, I drawn thee. Those that know nothing of it, they're those dead professors, they know nothing of that everlasting love, because it's not that which has drawn them. It is nothing but of self. It is those sparks that are, if they were left there, and they come down to the end of their days, they shall lie down in sorrow. But the one, yes, walking in that path of darkness, and that is their desire. Oh, that I might find him. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. And perhaps that darkness, even as it was with Job here, perhaps he felt, where is the mercy seat? It's so obscure from his view. Ah, yes, we know it was before Christ came to the earth and that which was accomplished, but I believe he saw, like Abraham and those of old, saw by faith one that was yet to come. It was one in whom their desire was, but now darkness obscured, darkness hid. Ah, but there this living desire. Is it not this? Give me Christ, or else I die. Is it not this? Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Is it not this? Speak the word only. You long to hear his voice. You long to see his smile. You long to feel his touch. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? There he could say this, no. But he would put strength in me. Is it not in these times and seasons then? The poor trembling sinner, even as Job, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Ah, it's there that the poor trembling sinner will have to prove the abundance of his grace and the sufficiency of it. No, but he will put strength in me. But all that day of darkness then, where he could not perceive, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. So no doubt there's that remembrance. Ah, and even as a psalmist there, those thoughts, those many thoughts he had in remembrance. Those things in time past. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Like as David then, when Ziklag was burned with fire, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Yes, a dark place he walked in there, a lonely path. But the Lord had not forsaken him. And neither has the Lord forsaken you, poor sinner. But it may be like this, and on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But all this faith then, this spark, this grain of living faith, but he knoweth. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. So it comes back to this. He didn't want anything counterfeit or anything of a mixed metal, anything with dross in it. He wanted that which, come the end of his days, would stand him in good stead. That which was bound up in that eternal covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Bound up in the righteousness of Christ. Bound up in that finished work. The law being satisfied. Bound up in that offering once and for all for sin, that sacrifice and that precious blood. Didn't want any, as the old servants of the Lord used to speak, linsey woolsey garment. But he wanted that which was pure, holy, undefiled by man. And that's what you need, poor sinner, is it not? You don't want something which is mixed fibre, that which is of self, mixed up with self. But you want that which is holy and undefiled. That robe of Christ's righteousness. That spotless, seamless robe. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But oh, that one then that fears the Lord, that walks in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Stay upon his God. And so Job was enabled even to do here. Whereby he could say, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. And consider this, poor sinner. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. The thing that is appointed for me. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you expected end. And it's not as your thoughts. Your thoughts are quite contrary to the thoughts of Almighty God. Where should you and I be? And where should you and I end up if we look at it that way? If we had a smooth path, that which our old nature desires. A smooth path without troubles and trials. It's, I will work and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? But he leadeth them forth with that right way. Oh, when you look at sheep, some are very wayward indeed. A very wayward, they're headstrong, they won't want to be kept in. Oh, sheep need a lot of care, and so do the Lord's people. They need much treatment, they need much dealing with. And I think upon those years I looked after sheep and cattle. Cattle on the one hand, it seemed you didn't have to be so tied up with them, but sheep, didn't have to leave them for long. And there was that which was necessary, painful even, that had to be done to them to keep them in good health. And so it is with you and I, to keep us in good spiritual health. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Many such things are with him. And oh, will not that poor sinner then prove there amongst those precious thoughts. That'll be added to those precious thoughts. That great sum of them. Yes, perhaps you're walking a path now, and yes, you can say, yes, there'll be many precious thoughts. But oh, what a mercy if you'd brought, yes, even to rejoice in the Lord. brought out her present circumstance and brought to rejoice in the Lord. Be monks, one of those precious thoughts. Added to them, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they're more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Oh, what a mercy then. Not sparks of your own kindling, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. When I awake, I'm still with thee. Ah, and what a mercy then. Yes, there shall be that time when we shall close our eyes in death here. But oh, what a mercy then to awake in glory, still with him, bound up in that covenant, that eternal covenant. Oh, then shall we not? We know here below we carry about with that old body of sin, that old man of sin. But what a mercy then. We shall see the wise dealings of our God. We shall see how good and gracious he's been. Then truly will it not? We shall sing the worthy praises of the Lamb once slain. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £680, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Jabez Rutt will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And the collections next Lord's Day are for Christian concern. Let us close with hymn 113. Who but the soul that's led to know how just and holy is the law, will to the cross of Christ repair and seek salvation only there. Hymn 113.
Thank you.
read that account of Job, what a mercy that it's not leave him there. Ah, yes, he had to abhor himself and repent in dust and ashes. But all we read concerning Job, his latter end, thou didst bless him indeed, and is better than his beginning. Ah, certainly not one to lay down in sorrow, because he walked in sparks of his own kindling, but by grace and thy mercy and thy favour towards him. Ah, so Lord, we plead, may this one or that one know of thy grace, thy abundant grace. And no doubt, at the end of it all, his cup ran over. His latter end was better than his beginning. And so we plead, do bless that which is of thee. Cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do take us now to our respective destinations in peace and safety. Remember us each in the pathway of life. Go before us. Ah, yes, may we prove, even in those darksome paths which thou dost cause us to go, that, ah, there is that one that has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.